Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Wednesday, February 2nd. If you're looking for songs by Neil Young or Joni Mitchell or podcast episodes from the popular podcaster Brené Brown, you'll have to look somewhere other than Spotify. You may have heard by now that Neil Young pulled his catalog from the platform last week after issuing an ultimatum to get Spotify to deplatform Joe Rogan, the immensely popular podcast host who has been accused of spreading misinformation about COVID-19 and vaccines and promoting treatments like ivermectin. In a letter Young posted but quickly deleted from his website, he wrote, "Spotify has a responsibility to mitigate the spread of misinformation on its platform. I want to let Spotify know immediately today that I want all of my music off their platform. They can have Rogan or Young, not both." So Spotify began to take down Neil Young's music last Wednesday. Then over the weekend, Joni Mitchell and Brené Brown followed suit. Joining me now to talk about the latest controversy surrounding Spotify and Rogan is Ashley Carman, senior reporter at The Verge and the writer of the Hot Pod newsletter. Ashley, thanks so much for coming on with us. Welcome to WNYC.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So, Ashley, for people who've never heard about Joe Rogan or his podcast called The Joe Rogan Experience, who is he? What's his show about? And what does this controversy mostly center on?
Yeah, so Joe Rogan, most popularly, I would assume people would know him from the show Fear Factor. He used to host it. He's a comedian. He also hosts MMA fights. And he started this podcast years ago on YouTube. It was mainly distributed, but available everywhere. And mostly, you know, he has a wide range of interests. Like, he'll have comedians on. He's very into, like, fitness and wellness, so he'll talk about that. And I think that sort of interest there is what led us up to this current drama, which is about him having some scientists on, more on the fringe side of things. So specifically a doctor named Dr. Robert Malone, who did work on the mRNA vaccines, but he came on the show and really said some controversial stuff that many people would consider misinformation. And Rogan didn't push back much. And that kind of began to snowball into what we have today, which is Neil Young speaking out and many others.
And that was back in April of 2021, wasn't it? The sort of prime misinformation event.
He had Dr. Robert Malone on actually in December, late December this past year. So, it just happened, which is why.
So there have been multiple incidents, because I have another clip that I'm not
I believe in the spring, he also was in the news because he sort of said, like, if you're 21 years old and you ask me if you should get vaccinated, I'm going to say no. So that was another separate incident.
Right, exactly. And so at the end of December, hundreds of medical experts came together to sign an open letter. Do you want to run us very briefly through some of their biggest concerns and why now?
Yeah. So again, prompted by that specific episode with Dr. Malone, these scientists, doctors, nurses, basically broad people from the medical community, published an open letter essentially saying, like, hey, Rogan and Spotify, which we should reiterate here, Spotify reportedly pays Joe Rogan $100 million to publish its show exclusively on Spotify. So we can get into why this issue is happening now and why Spotify is at the center of it. But that's a core reason. So these medical community members published a letter essentially saying, like, Joe Rogan has millions of listeners. Even if a small percentage take what he says and what his guests say as, you know, I shouldn't get vaccinated, this could constitute a real public health issue. And so they really urge Rogan and Spotify to take down this misinformation, they say, and reconsider how they're positioning the pandemic in the show.
And Joni Mitchell's departure from Spotify came shortly after Neil Young's. Joni Mitchell said she stands, quote, in solidarity with Neil Young and the global scientific and medical communities. And then podcaster Brené Brown, listener, just tweeted, we can add Mary Trump to that list. I don't know. I can't, you know, verify a listener's tweet. Maybe you know. But when you take this number, and maybe it's still a very small number of major podcasters or major musical artists pulling their material from Spotify in protest of them continuing to allow the disinformation, just labeling it, I guess. How big of a loss is this to Spotify? How big is it of a threat?
Right now, not much, frankly. So I think to like really get the situation, the core thing you need to understand is that Spotify pays Rogan to exclusively distribute his podcast. The reason that they're paying him this much money is because Spotify traditionally makes money through subscriptions and ad revenue. Podcasts, even if you have a subscription on Spotify and you listen to a Joe Rogan podcast, you're still going to hear an ad. So every time you listen to a Joe Rogan episode, Spotify makes money. And that's really, really critical here. Versus when you listen to a Neil Young song or a Joni Mitchell song, they, especially if you're paying subscriber, you don't hear ads. Spotify pays royalties to the music labels and the artists and the writers. So for it to, it's not going to prioritize those music relationships right. over Rogan.
Can I linger yeah. on that point for a second? Yeah. Because it kind of goes to this basic question that we hear over and over again with Facebook and others, which is, are these things just platforms? So we shouldn't hold them accountable for the content on those platforms, because just like anybody can walk into a park and spout any lies or whatever that they want, they can go onto a neutral platform and do that, and they shouldn't control that speech. Versus, are these media organizations, producers, who are responsible for their content? And in the case of Spotify and Joe Rogan specifically, they are a producer, an investor in that content?
Exactly. So when we talk about like Facebook and YouTube specifically, or Twitter, what we're talking about is user-generated content. So users coming on the platform, saying some stuff, maybe it's fake, and kind of this debate over how much the platform should really, you know, intercept that information or put a warning on it or whatever else. The difference in this situation is that Spotify, yes, is paying Rogan to make this content, just like you are paid to make a radio show for WNYC or I'm paid to write for a website. Mm-hmm. We have editorial standards at these companies. And so the question becomes, what are Spotify's editorial standards? What are their rules? What are the people that they're paying able to say? And so that's kind of the crux of what we're talking about here, because up until Friday when I broke this news and then Sunday Spotify officially published it, we had no idea what their rules were and what policies they adhered to. So that's really, really what's going on here.
And you wrote, this marks a critical turning point in Spotify's company narrative. It's no longer a music company, but one committed to podcasting to the point that it'll compromise relationships with musical artists to ensure its strategy's success. Here's a cynical question coming from a listener on Twitter, but maybe appropriately cynical or skeptical. Listener asks, is this Spotify controversy a power move by hedge funds and Amazon Music, who have been buying up music catalogs of musicians and want more control? In other words, Spotify has competitors out there, YouTube Music, Apple, Amazon Music. And do they have anything to do with this?
I will not pretend to have any idea whether, you know, Neil Young went to the platforms ahead of time and was like, hey, what can you offer me if I'm going to do this? But what I will say is, yes, of course, these are Spotify's competitors. We saw after these musicians pulled their music that Amazon offered like a maybe 4 month or something trial for Amazon Music. Sirius was advertising its Neil Young channel or something. Apple Music is like, we love Neil Young. So of course their competitors are going to capitalize on this moment. But I will also point out that Apple, but also Amazon Music primarily has been spending a ton of money as well in the podcasting space. So theoretically, Joe Rogan, arguably the biggest podcaster in the world, there could come a time where Amazon Music actually would like to have him on their platform. So they're really playing both music and podcasts, and it's competitive on all fronts.
Interesting. A number of listeners writing in to say they deleted Spotify just in the last few days over this. One writes, I deleted Spotify immediately on my laptop, desktop, and phone. I will use Pandora in the future. I did not pay for it, though. Someone else tweets, by the way, Joni Mitchell told Rolling Stone in 1991 that both she and Neil Young had childhood polio in Canada, they are both Canadian, before the polio vaccine had been introduced, so pertinent to vaccine disinformation. I see from your reporting that The Verge recently received screenshots of internal Spotify communications. Dustee Jenkins, Spotify's head of global communications and public relations, posted a message on the company's Slack saying the controversial episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience, quote, didn't meet the threshold for removal. So what is their threshold for removal, and what have they done with the Joe Rogan disinformation to address this controversy?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in that same story, I published their guidelines, and then on Sunday, Spotify published their rules. And I can read you, there's only four rules related to health information. So basically, you cannot have content that promotes dangerous, false, or dangerous, deceptive medical information that can cause offline harm or pose a direct threat to public health. So this includes, but might not be limited to, asserting that COVID-19, AIDS, cancer, or other serious life-threatening diseases are a hoax or not real, encouraging the consumption of bleach products to cure illnesses and diseases, promoting or suggesting that vaccines approved by local health authorities are designed to cause death, and encouraging people to purposely get infected with COVID-19 in order to build immunity to it, like, you know, promoting a coronavirus party. So those are all the rules. And when you read them, it's pretty obvious why Joe Rogan didn't break them. I don't think Joe Rogan thinks that COVID is fake or a hoax. But his guest has said that, and his guest didn't even say that vaccines are designed to cause death, which is the specific language in this rule. His guest just said that vaccines are experimental, which of course, these vaccines underwent clinical trials, they've been tested, so they're not in the experimental phase anymore. And so you could see how very easily you can start to skirt around these rules. You can say vaccines cause death. You cannot say vaccines are designed to cause death.
I could continue to read tweets. Sorry if I was distracted for a second. I'm looking at all the tweets coming in, and they're going by so fast. I don't know if I could stop them to read them. So many tweets coming in from individual listeners who say they've left Spotify. Another one: I just left Spotify for Tidal. That's another one, TIDAL, because of Neil Young, and honestly, more importantly, the paltry amount Spotify pays artists and creators. So let me jump off that tweet to ask you about that, because that's the conversation about Spotify that we used to have. There's no way for your musicians to make a living anymore selling their music. They need to tour and tour and tour and tour. That might be a slight overstatement, but where does that stand today?
Yeah, I think that just speaks to these dynamics where you can see artists like Neil Young. I mean, he did say that Spotify represents a huge portion. I believe 60% of his streaming income comes from Spotify.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's still taking the hit for sure, and as is his record label and whatnot. But regardless, I think that's why this $100 million to Rogan really is so stark to musicians, it seems, because here they are getting paid, you know, pennies, if that, for streams, not in the aggregate, but like per stream, not even pennies. And you see them paying Rogan so many millions of dollars. And I think that just adds to kind of this broader tension of, okay, what is Spotify value? Are they a music company or a podcasting company? Who are they paying? Where are they really getting their value from? So yeah, I think it just adds to the broader discussion and kind of contributes to why we've seen this bubble up now.
Alice in New Paltz, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alice.
How are you?
Hi there. We got you now. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Yeah, my housemate actually and my friend made this point, but we were reading like the letter from Neil Young when he like announced this, and we realized he said that we could stream his music on Amazon, and we thought that was kind of funny because, you know, he was making like a huge moral stance. And then he like had his music advertised as streaming on a platform that like obviously has its own moral problems. And yeah, we just thought that it was kind of devalued his point a little bit. And it was a little hypocritical. Yeah.
Yeah, Alice, that's such a great point. And in fact, listeners, our next guest is going to be Congressman Ro Khanna from the Congressional Progressive Caucus, but he also represents Silicon Valley and has a new book about how tech can serve us all. Well, can tech serve us all? We'll talk to Ro Khanna coming up next. But Ashley, Alice makes a great point. You know, if the main alternative to Spotify is Amazon, and we've done 50 million shows talking about alternatives to Amazon because you don't want to support that economy, is it only one tech giant, one morally sketchy tech giant or another when we're having this discussion?
I mean, kind of. Of course, you can go out and buy a Neil Young album. Right. And just listening to it like that, and he will make more money in that way. But unfortunately, yeah, this is kind of our reality at this point is, you know, it's the big platforms against one another. And I think you talk about that issue, I'm sure, quite a lot as it relates to antitrust and whatnot. So yes, I will not pretend that this is not an odd conundrum to be in.
Jasper in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jasper.
Hi, Brian. Big fan of the show. I wanted to make the point that, well, I've been listening to Joe Rogan for a few years now, and since his Spotify deal, he's kind of gone off the rails, really. He used to have this sort of air to him of, like, you know, seeing all sides. He'll have Ben Shapiro on one week and Bernie Sanders on the other week, and then, you know, kind of play both sides of the coin. And then now he's kind of really dug his feet into the ground. He's really not moving. And this is kind of an anecdotal story, but I was recently staying with a woman who was in her 80s, and she refused to get vaccinated because of this guy. She's subscribed to the email list of this guy, Dr. Marcola. And I was really interested in who this guy is because he's spreading all this horrible information. He actually, I found out that he sells supplements and vitamins, and he kind of says that's the cure. So he's telling people not to get vaccinated and then selling them this alternative. It's really snake oil. He's kind of just a really crummy guy, honestly, but, I was really disturbed to see that Joe Rogan had him on his podcast, and then he addressed the controversy on Instagram in a video, and he said, you know, he's basically backs up Marcola and says, oh, he defends him, which is really disturbing to me because, you know, he used to have this see both sides, and now it's to the point where, like your last segment, you brought up the Atlantic article, which was, what would you say, was human sacrifice?
Kurt Anderson,
something like that.
Yeah, the vax deniers
exactly.
Are basically engaging in human sacrifice.
Exactly. And this woman I knew, she's in her 80s, and I actually spoke to her. She said, you know, I know that if I get COVID, I will die. She has all these other ailments. She's immunodeficiency or whatever. So it's really disturbing because she says, I know I'll die, but I'm not going to get it because of this guy tells me. And then Joe Rogan has him on his podcast, and it's really just totally it's offensive. And so I don't subscribe to Spotify, but I wouldn't support him. And I think that what Neil Young and Joni Mitchell are doing is the right choice. And I hope other artists do the same.
Jasper, thank you very much for your call. I know you got to go in a minute, Ashley. You wrote on The Verge, Spotify didn't discover Joe Rogan and Joe Rogan didn't create Spotify, but their union portends the future of a closed podcasting ecosystem. So give us a vision of that future beyond Joe Rogan and this controversy. What is this closed podcasting ecosystem, and what are its implications for listeners or for democracy?
Yeah. So without getting too wonky in all the tech, podcasting has traditionally operated through something called RSS feeds, and podcast players, like Apple Podcasts as an example, essentially pulled up these links, these RSS feeds, and operated as kind of like a search engine, kind of like Google search. And so you were searching within the podcast app to find your show, which was an RSS feed or a link. When Spotify really came on the scene, it doesn't support RSS feeds. Like, you can't insert an RSS feed, like a private one or anything like that. Instead, they sign these exclusive deals, meaning that Joe Rogan is hosted on their platform. You can only listen on his platform, on their platform, and he doesn't have an RSS feed anymore, meaning essentially, you can't listen to him anywhere else other than Spotify. And this gets to the whole issue where when you can't listen to podcasts elsewhere, you end up where everyone's upset because Rogan fans are like, I don't want Spotify, you know, taking any hand in what Rogan says. Whereas other people on the other side are like, well, Spotify should be taking a much heavier hand because he's exclusive and they pay him. So I'm basically making the argument that where we were before, where anyone could listen more through a search engine and links, was a more effective system and an easier system, and one that kind of appeased everybody, I think.
And we have to leave it there for today with Ashley Carman, C-A-R-M-A-N, senior reporter at The Verge, writer of the Hot Pod newsletter, breaker of some important parts of this story about Spotify. As you've been hearing, Ashley, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.